Occasional gusts of up to 25 knots this afternoon. Wind waves less than 2 feet becoming 3 to 5 feet with west swells 3 to 5 feet every 9 seconds along with patchy fog. Outside KSCO studios, it's 63 degrees. The time is now 10:06. Coming up next, the Saturday special. Filling in for MZ is Michael Oles.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Is this where I talk, David?
Yeah, this is where you talk.
Got a twofer for you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But I worked for NBC Magazine with David Brinkley, senior producer, Vernon Hickson, said, whenever you go out into the field, instead of getting one story, get two. So, today, I have two stories about the Santa Cruz County Fair.
Nice.
Nice. It's going to be fun. First hour, Mike Bethke and Stephen Chambers from the Western Fair Association.
Stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Well, folks, California is broke. No, you didn't hear me. Given the deficit of the state of California's current budget and the deficit of the guarantees the state has made on its future, the state of California is totally, absolutely bankrupt. Washed up. Get over it, because it's over broke. So what is the state of California going to do? It could turn to one of its own, the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds, and do what it's doing to survive and prosper. That's what we are going to do today. We are going to turn to the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds to find out what it's doing to survive and prosper in a time of budget collapse. With us today, we have Michael Bethke, who is the manager of the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds. Michael, welcome to the Saturday special.
Good morning. Thank you, sir.
And wait a minute. Who's this magic person we have sitting next to you anyway? That looks like the world-famous Kay Swirling. Is that you, Kay?
Yes, but I'm not world famous.
I think you are. Also with us today, we from Sacramento, we have Stephen Chambers. Stephen is the director of the Western Fairs Association, right, Stephen?
Yeah, that's what I do.
What in on earth is the Western Fairs Association?
We're a trade association. We represent state and county fairs throughout the Western U.S. and Canada, all the way up to the Calgary Stampede, over to the New Mexico State Fair. Then all of the 78 fairs in California, we help them with a variety of things. It's a really fun job. I'm a lucky guy.
Would it be fair to say that you're a fair kind of guy?
I'm a fair kind of guy. I've probably been to more fairs at this point than anybody on the planet. And if you could see me, you'd see I have the nice slim stuff with a lot of fried food.
Well, I don't know if I could handle all that fair food, but good luck on you here for doing it.
I think your radio station number is about my cholesterol.
1080, there you go. Well, Stephen Chambers, you've been to a lot of fairs all over the Western United States and Canada. What do you think of the Santa Cruz County Fair?
Well, you know, the Santa Cruz County Fair is really a crown jewel in the Central Coastal area. I mean, just the development of the property with the the museum on the grounds and the agricultural history. I happened to be there last year. You know, I don't get to every fair every year. That would be physically impossible. But it's really something. It's certainly looked at by the other fairs as a real role model, not only for how beautiful and how much they've managed to balance their agricultural world with all the other things they need to do to, you know, in a diverse community. But also they've overcome some economic challenges of their own before this state's budget crisis. And they're on track and solid. We admire them.
Well, let's start right down with this budget crisis. How bad is it for the state fairs? Because all of these fairs that you're talking about essentially are government institutions, right?
Well, there's a variety of ways in which they're run. You know, Santa Cruz and kind of the sister fair across the bay in Monterey are actually state agencies with gubernatorially appointed boards. We also have fairs that are kind of more run by nonprofits in partnership with the county that they represent, like the Salinas Valley Fair and the Santa Clara County Fair up north of you. I'm just trying to think of who's in your listener range. Although
San Benito County.
San Benito is a district ag association. But I think for people who go to the fairs, they're probably not able to tell the difference in terms of their governance structure.
Right. Fair is a fair, right?
They have similar, you know, similar core themes, the relationship with agriculture, the relationship with their community. You know, fairs celebrate the accomplishments of ordinary citizens, as one of my predecessors once said. I always thought that was very beautiful. You know, the jams, the jellies, the quilts, the cows. It's a very cool thing.
And Santa Cruz County Fair is probably one of those who represents it best, I think, at any rate, having been to a few. Let's talk about the relationship then of the Santa Cruz County Fair to the state of California, because the Santa Cruz County Fair is a state institution, and the state of California is broke.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen with the budget for the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds for state?
Well, that's an interesting challenge that we continue to work on. We were surprised when the governor announced the complete elimination of fair funding as he rolled out his first year. First term, at least this time around budget, we expected to see reductions like anybody who's working with state government funding. We didn't expect to see him completely eradicate the support. And you know, frankly, in this budget, you know, we're familiar with it. Remember that the fairs are right in these communities. I mean, fairs are doing things like food drives and shelters during hot weather or earthquakes or tsunamis. I mean, we know how it is out there. And if we thought that the money that fairs get was taking money away from education or law enforcement or healthcare, we wouldn't even ask for it. But the reality is the state's own agency, the Department of Food and Ag, shows the fairs as generating a hard $126 million in 2009 right back into the state, into the general fund from sales tax and personal income tax. We think the state gets a pretty good return on their investment.
So wait a minute. Let's go through those numbers really quickly one more time. The fairs cost the state what, and the fairs return what?
Fairs cost $32 million. The state gets back $126. And
I'd like some of that action.
With numbers like that, you'd think my job would be. But the hard part is the way that government budgets, they tend to only budget on the expense side. We've asked the governor's Department of Finance, okay, you saved $32 million on the expense. We get it. But how much of that $126 are you going to lose if the fairs are unable to take good care of their property and also survive difficult weather? You know, these last couple weekends, Memorial Day weekend, we had rain pretty much every day in Northern California. That really hurt the fairs that were running right then. And the lack of a safety net of funding could really get in their way and impair their ability to survive. So, but the Department of Finance doesn't come back with the answer to that question. You know, you've got 126. What do you expect? How much do you expect to see that drop in a world with no funding?
So the fairs cost the state $26 million.
And 32.
$32 million. And the fairs return to the state $126 million.
Right.
And so, and again, being prudent government officials, we're going to whack the $32 million and
right.
See what happens to the $126 million.
Well, the funny part is they just assume the $126 will still be there. I mean, the analogy I tried to use with a friend who's an accountant who can't understand why it's difficult for us to make this case because the numbers are so clear. And again, they're third party numbers. It's not like this is one of those economic impact studies that everybody thinks are somewhat suspect. This is Board of Equalization, actual direct income from us. But, you know, the way I described, I figured out that if I stop driving to work, I can save over $3,000 a year in gas and oil.
Right.
I really think they'd probably stop paying me.
Probably, huh?
And so, you know, there's two sides to the ledger here, and we've been trying to get them to examine the downside of this decision. But again, we also recognize how tough it is. We've been working with the legislative leadership and the governor's office, excuse me, looking for ways to allow us, instead of taking general fund dollars, to tap into some of the revenue streams that we generate. You know, our dream would be that if we could do the sales tax in a partnership, and not the local share, We think local government, you know, they need that their share of sales tax. But the state right now is getting 6% of all food and beverage sales and other activities.
So we're making some money, so why don't you set some of that aside for us? So essentially what I'm saying is that the state government is really throwing the county fairs under the bus, saying take care of yourself. How many county fairs are in trouble here in California?
Well, you know, right now, I mean, the last couple of years have been very strong for fairs in general. You know, in a down economy and high gas prices, we tend to outperform other entertainment sectors like, you know, the movie industry and, theme parks and things like that. So, you know, we feel like we're on pretty solid footing for right now. What will happen in a world in which there's no funding in 2012 is a different scenario. Because a lot of that money doesn't just go to fairs directly. It goes to underwrite some of the costs of their activities, like their property insurance, like their vehicle insurance. Some of those things like that are much more efficiently done collaboratively. And sure. And so we estimate that there'll be as many as 30 fairs could be at risk for, you know, we don't pretend to know every local situation. There might be somebody on the Santa Cruz County Fair Board who will, you know, step up and write a big check. But we can't.
That might be Mike Bethke. He might step up and write a big check, but I don't think so. I've heard that here in the Monterey Bay Area, in the South San Francisco Bay Area, we have some of our fairs are at the in danger of going down. Monterey County Fair, San Benito County Fair, Santa Clara County Fair are all on the bubble, are they not?
Well, every situation is different. You know, Santa Clara County Fair, for example, has been, you know, kind of struggling with its identity for a long time, and that's been more driven by local political decision making. I think Monterey County Fair, again, from a distance, not knowing their budget detail, seems quite solid. You know, their fair's been strong, and they've been through transitions as they've moved their dates to Labor Day weekend, and that seems to have really worked for them. They have a very small property and challenges with that because, they're right in a city.
Right.
San Benito, I think, is a good example, though, of a fair that without absent state subsidy, I think that if Kelly Ferreira was on the line with us right now, who's the manager there, he'd say, you know, it would be very difficult because they've actually have a large property, beautiful park-like setting, and you know, just the maintenance costs of keeping that open year-round and stuff like that without any kind of underwriting for that core stuff. Again, mostly it's, you know, major deferred maintenance needs and things like that. It gets really tough.
So as the director of the Western Fairs Association, you see these fairs, you know, being taken off the teat, as it were, from the state governments. What do you think they can do to survive?
Well, I mean, some of the things that we're talking with the legislature about are have to do with some of their operational costs, especially the District Ag Association. You know, one of the, there are many pluses to being on state property. You don't have to pay property tax. There's just certain, you know, control issues that are good, make it easier to operate. But there are also some huge costs. I mean, all of the state agency fairs like Santa Cruz and Monterey have to deal with Department of Personnel Administration. So, for example, if you're trying to flex your staff size, if you're trying to reduce your staff size or increase your staff or redirect your staff, let's say you don't need, baked goods supervisor. I'm making that up. And instead you need somebody to deal with your off-track betting facility like they have in Monterey. It takes months, sometimes even years, to accomplish those tasks.
Because they're civil servants?
Yes. And that's a huge challenge for the smaller fairs, especially because it's very hard to be flexible. Also, their contracting. I mean, the procurement nightmares. I mean, again, Michael or some of the other district ag managers can tell you more about this because I don't live in that world every day. But, wow, I mean, you know, just simply buying toilet paper and paint and other things you need to operate a facility with DGS, as they're called, Department of General Services, who not only gets in your way, but then charges you a fee for the pleasure of being in your way.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. Stephen Chambers, thank you for joining us. We're going to hope you'll hold on for a little bit. We're going to go to Mike Becky, who's going to tell us a little bit about what they've been doing at Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds now that the funding appears to be disappearing like Virga on a warm tropical sun. Just gone. Money's gone. We're going to talk about how it's going to be possible for the Santa Cruz County Fair to survive and what they are doing there that would make a good model for the rest of California to look at to say, hey, maybe we can survive this budget crash by being private. Right back. This is the Saturday special. Michael Olson in for Michael Zwirling, who is out and about. Kay Zwirling is with me as well. And Mike Bethke and Stephen Chambers. Do stay tuned.
Not a Justin Bieber wig.
Treat Father to what he really wants this Father's Day weekend. Adventure. Take him to the beautiful Pajaro Valley for the Loch Lomond Games and Scottish Renaissance Festival, Saturday and Sunday, June 18th and 19th at the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds. Tickets are only $15 and the parking is free. Thou will get to spend an entire day enjoying the Highland Games and Celtic Gathering with lots of traditional Scottish athletics, professional and amateur competitors, and lots of clansmen with enough tartan to make everyone feel Scottish for the day. And don't forget the food and the drink and the Scottish Renaissance Festival.
No, no, please not a daddy tea caddy.
Treat Father to a Father's Day weekend filled with adventure. Take him to the Scottish Renaissance Festival and Loch Lomond Games at the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds in Watsonville. Tickets are just $15 and parking is free. Get discount tickets right now at ScottishRenaissanceFestival.org. That's ScottishRenaissanceFestival.org. Now strike up the pipes.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
For over 400 years, the world-famous Lippis Honor Stallions have captured the imagination and excitement of the equestrian world. And now, you have the chance to see the Dancing White Stallions perform live and in person in a special anniversary edition, including their spectacular leaps in the airs above the ground. Don't miss the world-famous Lippis Honor Stallions on their world tour.
Santa Cruz Civic Auditorium, Thursday, June 16th at 2:30 and 7:30 p.m. Tickets now at Auditorium Box Office and SantaCruzTickets.com. Children and seniors enjoy half price.
Hi, I'm Andy, the produce manager at Ben Lomond Market. This week we are featuring California yellow or white nectarines, $1.99 a pound. The white nectarine is very sweet. The yellow nectarine has the true nectarine flavor. Both are full of flavor and very juicy. Try one of each and taste the difference. We also have California yellow peaches, $1.69 a pound, and California red or green seedless grapes, $1.99 a pound. In organics, we are featuring California strawberries, raspberries, and blueberries, two for $5, and California organic yellow nectarines, $1.99 a pound. So come and check out our great selection of fresh produce at Ben Lomond Market and Scotts Valley Market. Extra, extra, weekend special, medium-sized artichokes, California, grown, 59 cents each.
This is KSCO, Santa Cruz, Monterey, Salinas.
Welcome back, folks. This is the Saturday special, M-O-N for N-Z. M-Z is out and about, but Michael Olson's here with Kay Zwirling and Michael Bethke in the studio here at KSCO Studios on Portola Drive in Santa Cruz. Also, Stephen Chambers is with us from Sacramento. Stephen is with the Western Fairs Association. We're talking about the state of California being kind of broke and not being able to afford much of anything anymore. And so it's turning a lot of its assets loose, to fend for themselves, one of which is the Santa Cruz County Fair, as many other fairs as well. And so these properties are going to have to make it on their own one way or another because the Governor Jerry Brown is saying no more dough. Mike Becky, as the fair manager, you saw this coming, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
And?
Well, about a year and a half ago, you know, our board actually started taking precautions to prepare for the loss of our allocation.
Well, just a sec. Yeah. With respect to the board, the boards used to be kind of something that the governor would do to as political favors. You know, somebody helped the governor get elected, they'd get put on the fair board or something like that. But you guys have a very interesting board now that's become – has a lot of entrepreneurs on it.
Yeah, I think we have an incredible board of directors. Mostly, I think actually all of them now have been appointed by the former governor, Governor Schwarzenegger. I was formerly an appointed board member as well in 2006, and I served a four-year term before I stepped down and was tapped to recruit and tapped to take over as the fair manager.
And you have an entrepreneurial background too. You're a builder.
Well, yes, sir. Yeah, both in the public sector and private sector is my background in planning and development. To give you a little background of the interview process that I personally went through to be selected and appointed by Governor Schwarzenegger in 2006, it was probably more exhaustive of an interview and an investigation process than any job I ever applied for. I went through a full DOJ, you know, background, criminal background investigation, credit check, three interviews with the governor's appointments secretary. So I don't really think the current process today in appointing fair board directors harkens back to the old days of the spoils system, mm-hmm. where, you know, you appoint somebody because they did you a political favor. At least what I've been seeing in the last few years, the governor's office has taken great pains to find, qualified and competent candidates to be and serve on these boards of directors. And I was privileged and honored to have been one of those, like I said, in 2006 when the governor...
And this is going to make a difference, of course, because you have a board of directors that is entrepreneurial in spirit. And the fair, the Santa Cruz County Fair, like many other fairs, mm-hmm. is a state institution without any state support now.
Michael, can we clarify one thing? Michael, are there funds to function for this year for the county fair?
Yeah, let me kind of give you the big picture here of our budget. We have approximately $2 million operating budget for the fiscal year, and that's we go by our fiscal year is the entire year of, say, 2011 now.
Okay.
And of that, and Mr. Chambers kind of alluded to this, so we get an allocation based on our fair classification. We're a Class 3 fair, and that equates to approximately $115,000 of state funding support from the fairs and expositions.
1/20th of your budget.
Actually, 5%, yeah.
So what's the status for this year?
Well, we've already actually, we've received the money for the last year, in the last fall to cover for this year, but we actually were prepared to not receive it. Our board has already, like I said, made plans about a year and a half ago, because we saw the writing on the wall, and so given some real severe belt tightening that we've been doing and freezing of positions, we've actually froze two personnel positions, and just the cost savings of those two positions alone will more than cover the loss of the allocation for this year and any subsequent year. So we're, like I said, we're trying to be fiscally responsible.
You're functioning with two fewer people.
Yes, ma'am. Actually, right now, believe it or not, we run that entire facility, which is almost the size of a small city, small town, that runs 200,000 people plus a year through there. And we run that entire facility, and it's about 120 acres with aging infrastructure like every other city's experiencing right now. Believe it or not, we run that entire facility with only three full-time civil service employees.
That's amazing.
And I'm one of them.
So in essence, you're privatizing it because you're losing your next year.
Yeah.
You're scheduled to lose all your support.
And we're already we already prepared our budget to make up for that loss of allocations. And I think the other fares that like Mr. Chambers alluded to, like my poor colleague in San Benito, since they're a smaller fare in a classification, they rely more heavily on these state allocations, and they're more like I think 250,000, 300,000. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, but that's a very significant hit for those poor folks when they're a class one or a class two.
So the more money you get from the state, the worse off you're going to be.
I think so, yeah.
Stephen, is that a fair assessment?
I think that's a good assessment. You know, we like to think that we were pretty smart 20 years ago. We rebuilt the funding structure, for the first 60, 70 years of funding, every fare got the exact same dollar amount. And we looked at that as in all the fares and created a sliding scale where the largest allocations go to the smallest fares, which is unusual for government. Usually government, you know, a big hospital gets more than a small hospital and so forth. But
yeah, but doesn't that put the smaller fares in a bigger fix now that the money's disappearing?
Absolutely. It puts them in a much bigger challenge. But we thought it was the smartest way to utilize the state kind of seed money that was there. And, of course, now in this environment, that puts them in the most difficult position because, most of them are in remote market and generating, more locally through rental fees and admission to your fare and stuff. There's an elasticity to that. You know, you can't just sit there and say, well, you know, we'll just raise our fare gate to $24, and that balances our budget. You won't have any attendee. You know, it's not like we're the DMV or something where we can just sit there and say, okay, well, we'll just add $10 to the price of the driver's license.
Well, that's not working either these days. So.
Yeah, well, there's that, yeah.
But so what we have here at Santa Cruz County is an entrepreneurial fare board, an entrepreneurial fare manager, and intent on doing it on your own. So essentially, you're privatizing a government institution.
Very creatively, too.
Very creatively. Is that a fair assessment? Is that what you're doing? You're privatizing a state institution?
Well, I don't know if I use the term privatizing. I have a friend of mine that I serve on the Cabrillo College Bond Oversight Committee, Mr. Fry, and he co-chairs that Bond Oversight Committee with me, and he calls this what we're doing right now is social entrepreneurship, and I love that. In fact, he just gave me a new book to read, as if I don't have enough time, spare time as it is. I think what we're doing is experiencing, at least as far as government policy at the state level, and this is going to obviously trickle down to the local level, is a form of a new way of reinventing government. Renting the paradigm that obviously is not working anymore, and if this is going to evolve into a new form of what my good friend Mr. Fry alludes to as social entrepreneurship, then I think that's what we're doing. And as someone who's been involved with working in policy and crafting policy for various government agencies for almost 30 years, and as an adjunct professor. At San Jose State University in the urban planning program where I teach classes on these very subjects with the grad students there, I just find this an absolutely fascinating new era.
Challenge.
So California's sitting there trying to figure out how we're going to survive. You know, we have this monster government. with monster responsibilities and not quite so monster incomes these days. So to survive, California is going to have to look around for different ways of doing things. And it appears to me as though you guys are onto something here by recognizing the fact that the state's not there to help you. Okay, what are we going to do to survive? What are you going to do to survive? As the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds, how are you going to keep our fairgrounds up and running so that we can have a place to have barbecues together and ride the Ferris wheel and meet each other once in a while and ride our horses and race our cars? And how are you going to keep that precious asset of Santa Cruz County alive without the state?
Well, if you believe in the old adage that, you know, necessity is the mother of invention, we're being challenged and forced to do this out of necessity, obviously, because of the meltdown in California, in Sacramento in particular. And what we're doing is we're focusing more, you know, on our interim events every year, because when people think of the county fair, typically you think, well, the one week shebang we have. And typically a lot of fairs, unfortunately, once they, you know, they conduct their big annual event during the fair week, they pretty much kind of shut down and that's it for the rest of the year. Well, that paradigm will not function, will not work anymore, unless these fairs can operate in a 365 day, you know, interim, you know, event mode. So we're operating and utilizing those resources year round.
Is there
to generate the revenue?
Is there a choice?
I mean, well, the only choice is close your doors, because okay, if there's no money.
So there it is, folks. Close the doors, or become an entrepreneur.
Right, and our fair historically, I mean, that fairground's been there since 1941, and if you go online or a website and read the fair history that was prepared by our current director Loretta Estrada, you'll see just a rich array of interim events have been going on there since the early founding of the fair at that site in 41. Equestrian events. We had harness racing before that evolved into the car racing in the 50s. Quinceañeras. Quinceañeras seems to be the most popular weekly event, you know, for the Hispanic community down there. And on Sundays now, we have an incredible, vibrant, Hispanic-based marketplace that's become the premier cultural event for that community in the whole Pajaro Valley. Mm-hmm. And that's drawn in revenue. That alone is drawing in almost $100,000 a year just for a one-week event.
So you've been putting on some events and taking a fairgrounds that otherwise would only be operating 6 days a year and turning it into a vibrant community meeting place.
And I think that's the service that we feel, you know, at least our board as a policy feels is why we're there to minister and open that facility, that with all those rich resources, to be the community gathering place for all these various interest groups. And it's not just, once again, it's not just the typical ag-related type interest groups, the 4-H kids, future farmers kids, whatever. But it's now the science fair that the Santa Cruz County Office of Ed puts on. That's now been moved down there, and that's an incredible event.
So all kinds of things, folks. This is the Saturday special. Michael's Whirling is out today. Michael Olson is in for him with Kay's Whirling. Michael Bethke, the fair manager of the Santa Cruz County Fair, and also Stephen Chambers up there in Sacramento is with us. And you, phone numbers today, 831-479-1080, 831-479-1080. If you'd like to chip in. Pick up your phone and join us. For our second hour, I want you to get prepared for our second hour. To do so, go to Google Maps and find Rancho Brazil Lane in Watsonville. and pull that up on your computer, and then you can tune in, and that'll be a focal point for the second hour of the Saturday special. With us, join us right now. We're on the phones. We're at 479-1980. We'll pick up Tony when we get back from these important messages. Do stay tuned.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure, what's up?
There's this girl I kind of like.
Well, if there's one thing I know, it's women.
Really?
Well, they didn't call me Velvet for nothing.
I don't get it.
Smooth. I was smooth.
Oh.
Anyway, it's easy. You just got to impress her. Show her how strong you are.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
I don't know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt, if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, ugh! Try it.
Ugh!
See, there you go. And you should dress up. Start wearing a shirt and tie.
I'll look like a dork.
No, you'll look successful.
Okay.
And finally, you can start using my cologne. The ladies love it, so don't be shy. Splash it on.
Thanks, Dad.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To find out how you can adopt, please visit our website at AdoptUSKids.org or call in 888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
When it comes to dental care, you want to be treated with comfort, compassion, and competence. And we believe you deserve it. Hi, I'm Dr. Guy Peabody in Santa Cruz. Listen.
My name is Terry. I am terrified of going to the dentist. I was referred to Guy Peabody, and they told me about the sedated dentistry. They're really great people. The first time I went, I had taken a pill an hour beforehand, and I sat down in the chair and I took another pill. It was at least 3 hours later. I woke up, and all the work was done, and I didn't remember anything, and I hadn't felt any pain at all. It's so much better to walk in there and zone out and walk out 3 hours later and everything is done.
Dr. Guy Peabody provides a comprehensive approach to treating dental problems in the most comfortable ways possible, including sedation, laser therapy, and digital imaging. It's time. Take care of your teeth. Call Dr. Guy Peabody at 831-457-0343 or click on drpeabody.com. Wake up to a beautiful smile.
You're listening to KSCO, serving Scotts Valley, Gonzales, and New Hydra.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday special. Michael's Whirling is out and about. Michael Olson is in with Kay's Whirling. Michael Bethke, fair manager of the Santa Cruz County Fair. Steve Chambers up there in Sacramento. And you, this is part one of a two-part show. The second part is going to be a whole bunch different. This is kind of a positive side of the story here. We're talking about how the Santa Cruz County Fair and its entrepreneurial board are figuring out how to privatize a state institution and run it as a business so that it can survive and prosper. You and I can have a fairground and not get taxed to death for it. An amazing thing, perhaps the state of California should look at what's happening at the Santa Cruz County Fair and take a lesson. Perhaps we can do with a lot less government and a lot more entrepreneurial people running things. What do you think? 831-479-1080 is the phone number. Let's go to Tony in La Selva. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, good morning. This one is primarily for, I guess Steve Chambers and Michael can also add to it, but in that $126 million return that the fairgrounds get, if you guys, if the state completely cuts you off, is there a way of negotiating part of that so that some of that funding could keep supporting some of the fairgrounds that require larger support from the state, whether it's using some of that money as your own independent fund?
Well, that's kind of what Stephen was talking about earlier. Stephen, any chance of getting the state to let you keep some of the money that you're developing?
Well, that's what we're talking to not only the governor's team, but also the legislative leadership about, especially the rural legislators who realize that, you know, there are some implications here to some of these small fairs closing that the Department of Finance hasn't really examined. If they don't have property insurance anymore, if they're not able to pay their water bill, they're lose their fire coverage, because every fire coverage policy on the planet requires pressurized water. Otherwise, they're not going to cover you for those losses. I think that's the other thing that's important. You know, you can look at fairs like, you know, that are in more urban markets like Santa Cruz and Monterey and see that there are ways they can figure it out. But when you get to the San Benitos of the world, it gets more challenging. And the fairs, one of the things I think that the legislature doesn't always see is how connected the fairs are. I mean, we can talk about interim events, and lots of fairs have year-round activities, especially the small ones, because there aren't many other facilities that can host events and activities of any size. But the fair time is also very important, and those vendors, the carnival operators, the pony rides, the, you know, hot dog on a stick, they require a year-round circuit. They can't just sit in Michael's parking lot waiting for Santa Cruz to open. They need a whole circuit, and they're also the core of our economic impact. And so I think the caller is, you know, is a very good point. We need to find a way to sustain the entire network, not just end up with one where those that are in the strongest market survive, because the businesses that serve the fairs won't survive that. And that's kind of the core of what we've been talking to the legislative leadership. I mean, they're right now in round two of the budget negotiations, and we have friends just like any interest. We have legislators that care about that.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, Stephen. You see a lot of fairs, and do you see the same kind of entrepreneurial drive that you see here with the Santa Cruz County Fair? It seems like governments we're so over-governmented right now that the governments have become so costly. And yet here's a county fair that is making it on its own, it's intent on making on its own by being entrepreneurial, by relying on, as Director Patrice Edwards just called and said, 600 volunteers are part of the Santa Cruz County Fair. 600. That's an army.
That's awesome.
Given the, do you see any other fairs with this kind of entrepreneurial spirit taking the situation in their own hands, or are we all going to just go down with the government?
Oh, I think that the fairs are up to the task here, even though we still continue to believe that there are opportunities for us to find some way to provide some kind of stabilizing funding for the smallest fairs and the medium-sized fairs as well. I think that, you know, if you look at it just globally, you know, in the last 20 years, 20 years ago, the state allocation that Michael was referring to on a statewide basis represented about 30% of total fair income. Today, that number, those statewide allocations, would, you know, still continue through this year anyways, are less than 10%. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to remember that, you know, of course, I've been around a while, but up until the late 1960s, non-agricultural events on fairgrounds were against the law. You couldn't have a quinceañera. You couldn't have a boat show. You couldn't have...
Up until the 1960s?
Yeah, and our organization, of course, before my time, spearheaded the opening up of fairgrounds to year-round events and activities. And at the time, you know, things like the Drive-In Movie Theater Owners Association was against that effort. They thought we were going to build drive-in movie theaters at fairs. People now realize, even local businesses realize, that expanded use of fairgrounds helps the whole community's economic structure. You know, whether it's a Sunday market or a horse show, that helps hotels and restaurants and gas stations, and everybody in the community wins when those things happen. I think the important thing to remember is there's a cost to that, because now you're dealing with aging infrastructure, as Michael mentioned, and you're utilizing it more. So you start to have all these other costs. When I look back over the last 20 years, we collectively, again, the network, we've invested millions of dollars in stuff that the public doesn't even get to see. things like, well, I think Santa Cruz is a good example. Michael probably could tell you how much they invested in just simply putting in sewer systems and hooking it up locally. You know, most people don't, you know, when you're using a restroom, you kind of, that's the only part of your experience you're aware of. You know, obviously if you're going to have year round use and people coming to your fairgrounds, you know, operating on a septic system doesn't make sense. And so there's been a tremendous amount of infrastructure upgrade over the last 20 years. And we need to maintain some kind of level of funding for that, you know, to keep those properties good. And that's another part of our argument to state is, you know, just because of the way it is, fairgrounds, the 76 actual properties that are in the state, have been utilized more in the last 5 years for emergencies, cooling centers, heating centers, Cal Fire uses them, and not just for fire camps, but, you know, during the big Southern California fires, several of the fairs on Highway 99, like Madera District Fair, that was where all the fire engines would sure. congregate.
Here in Santa Cruz County, we had earthquake. We had just had a fire and on and on and on and on and on. Mike Bethke, you guys have really become entrepreneurial at the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds about finding ways to survive without the government. Stephen Chambers, is Jerry Brown going to pull all the funding? What do you think? What's the odds?
Well, it's already his, you know, that's already his recommendation that's been approved by the legislature during the last budget drill. We tend to believe that the governor might be open to alternatives as he continues through these negotiations over the next couple days, frankly.
So it's on the bubble then, all of this.
Yeah.
Money.
You know, the thing to realize is that, you know, we're such a small piece of the puzzle. You know, yeah. The total fair funding is less than 0.1% of just the deficit that the governor was dealing with. And I think that he and his team are probably learning more as again, some of their other agencies come in like Cal Fire and say, hey, wait a minute.
Sure. Everybody's going to be fighting over the pie. Mike?
Right.
Well, another angle I want to really, you know, push here and let the public know that I think we're, you know, what we're doing is leading the charge in a new direction is our partnership with all these volunteers that, like Miss Edwards just noted when she called in, and the organizations that they represent as our partners at their fairgrounds. For example, the Heritage Foundation. This is our direct nonprofit provider that does nothing but fundraising for us. For example, they just recently had a big crab feed where we raised almost $30,000, and all this money funnels back into our capital improvement projects. And for example, the new Heritage Hall that we're up there. So we have these incredible, resourceful partners that have established non-profit entities to partner with us. Another group, the Ag History Project, unbelievable in entrepreneurial partners that have just raised almost $500,000 to help fund and build a new implement barn. That's above and beyond almost the $5 million in improvements they've already made to the fairgrounds in the last 20-plus years that now is represented by the Ag History Museum. Mm-hmm. And this has caught the attention affairs from my understand throughout the country. In fact, when I first started here last year, I got a call from the director, the executive director of the State Fair in North Carolina. And he called and tracked me down and wanted to talk about the Ag History Project and the Ag History nonprofit entity that's helping us fund and build this stuff, because they want to do a similar thing at the State Fairgrounds in North Carolina. And so if we're getting, you know, attention and interest like that from throughout the country, you know, I think that's an incredible model.
So it is hugely significant. And what you're doing is pointing a way that we can survive without the state government. We can do it on our own. Ladies and gentlemen, for the past hour, we've been talking about how the Santa Cruz County Fair has taken it upon themselves to survive in spite of a state government that's letting them go for all intents and purposes. You're done. You're out. Go take care of yourself or die. The state government says. Why is the state government saying that? Because California state government is broke, bankrupt beyond belief. And so its institutions, like the Santa Cruz County Fair, are going to have to fend for themselves. And this fair is doing just that. It has an entrepreneurial board of directors and an entrepreneurial manager. And they've set about developing all kinds of different activities to keep our fairgrounds alive, vibrant, and useful all year long. But there is a threat that we are in, as a matter of fact, we are right now in a clear and present danger of losing our fair and our fairgrounds. And it is a threat from the neighbors of that fairgrounds, who are, in essence, up in arms at the increased amount of activity at the fairgrounds. So this is going to be the subject of our next hour, the threat to our fairgrounds by its neighbors. And to help you really get tuned in to this threat, I want you to go to Google and look up an address there, Rancho Brazil Lane, and its proximity to the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds. Let's kind of call it up, because that'll help you understand the fix our Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds is in. That segment is going to be a feature of Kay's Whirling, and I are going to tackle that because nobody else would wants to sit in on it. We have asked the Community Alliance for Fairgrounds Accountability and Max Kelly and Gary Patton and the entire crew to join us today for that discussion, but they have turned us down and don't want anything to do with us. We've also asked members of the Fair Board and the Fair Management, and they don't want anything to do with this discussion either.
Well, Michael, maybe hopefully Gary Patton will be calling in.
That would be wonderful, wouldn't
yes.
it? Because we have
that
some questions.
That would be very responsible.
Yes,
we for have him some... to do that since the fairgrounds are being sued.
Yes. If anybody knows where Gary Patton is today, tell him to grab him by the shoulder and say, pick up your phone, Gary, and call 479-1080, because Kay's Whirling wants to talk with him about the fairgrounds, because that's going to be the subject of next hour, the clear and present danger that our fairgrounds might be shut down by the incredible amount of legal terrorizing.
Quagmire.
Yeah, being put upon them by the neighbors of the grumpy neighborhood of the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds. So this has been hour number one of the Saturday special. I want a big shout out and thank you to Stephen Chambers up in Sacramento, who is with the Western Fairs Association. Thank you, Stephen. Really appreciate your joining us today. Mike Bethke, thank you for joining us today. Appreciate your coming in here and understand why you don't want to hang around for the next hour. But congratulations on the work that you folks have done in pulling together our fairgrounds and keeping it alive and vibrant and
anticipating.
And anticipating the fact that we would have to all learn how to take care of ourselves. And that's the way of it. So stay tuned next hour, and please go to your internet website or browser, look up, go to your maps program, Google Maps or whatever, and look up Rancho Brazil Lane in Watsonville, and hold that image for hour number two of the Saturday special. Thank you all so much for tuning in. We will be back in a few minutes.
Radio, I'm Karen Riegel. The massive wildfire burning in Arizona has crossed the state line into New Mexico. As troublesome as the fire is on the ground, the condition in the air is troublesome, too.
Thick white and black smoke can be seen several hundred miles away in states as far away as Kansas and Colorado. The poor air quality of great concern.
We couldn't see anything for the smoke. It just settled right into the valley over the top, and we're at the south end, so it came to us first, and you literally could not see, you know, 10 feet ahead of you.
The fire only 6% contained at this hour, and more than 3,000 firefighters from all over the country are on the ground here.
Fox's Casey Stiegel outside of Springerville, Arizona. This is the second biggest fire in Arizona history. The U.S. says it believes it's killed a major al-Qaeda offensive.
Fazil Abdullah Muhammad joined al-Qaeda in 1991. He allegedly planned the U.S. embassy truck bombings in Nairobi and Dar es Salaam in 1998, which killed 223 people. It catapulted him to America's top 10 most wanted list. In 2002, he was given command of al-Qaeda's operations in East Africa, and in the same year planned anti-Israeli attacks in Mombasa, killing 15. There's been conflicting reports as to what has happened to his body, but America will undoubtedly want conclusive proof that Fazil Abdullah Muhammad is no longer alive and no longer a threat.
Jane Dougal with our sister network, Sky News. The head of the Democratic National Committee says Congressman Anthony Weiner should resign. In a statement, Debbie Wasserman Schultz says Weiner's behavior is indefensible, that his behavior has been sordid, and that his service in Congress has become untenable. Weiner is a married Democrat from New York. He admits to sending lewd pictures of himself to women via the Internet. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Fox News Sunday is America's wake-up call with one of the most trusted names in politics, Chris Wallace, asking the tough questions to Washington's power players.
Was that statement by you a mistake?
Engaging America in critical debates on the biggest issues.
Let's get serious about our economic future.
And taking a look ahead to our nation's next big moves.
What should we do about Pakistan going forward?
Only Chris Wallace has America's wake-up call every Sunday on Fox News Sunday. Check your local listings.
Every night, Fox Business is the place for smart, aggressive, insightful business news. At 8, Judge Napolitano is on Freedom Watch.
This is about free enterprise and your right to live the American dream.
At 9, on America's Nightly Scoreboard, David Asman keeps you plugged in.
This is about winners and losers and who's really making the power moves.
And at 10, Eric Bolling is on the case. It's Follow the Money.
This is about getting the facts and exposing the truth.
This is about business in America. This is Fox Business. Check your local listings.
Excitement building for the Belmont Stakes. Live to the racetrack and Fox News Radio's Ron Flatter.
Aaron, it's the third year in a row the race here in Elmont, New York, will be run without any chance for a Triple Crown sweep. That usually cuts the crowd in half, but one woman here today isn't disappointed.
This is my first time at the track ever, and I've already won two times, so I haven't even thought about Triple Crown, not even one time. Disappointment's not in my vocabulary.
The weather is also likely to cut the size of the crowd. It's been misty and rainy all day. The track rated as muddy. Kentucky Derby winner Ant Kingdom remains the favorite for the Belmont Stakes in about 4.5 hours, Karen.
Ron, thank you. In a new report, the government says the chemical formaldehyde causes cancer. And the National Institutes of Health also says styrene, which is often used in manufacturing fiberglass and food containers, may cause cancer. The agency says people who work in manufacturing those products are at an increased risk for some kinds of rare cancers. Styrene is found in cigarette smoke as well. The bathroom is not your friend.
Here's some advice from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Be careful in the bathroom. New statistics looking at emergency room visits show there were 234,000 injuries in the bathroom in 2008. Most happen in the bathtub or shower where things get slippery. And it's not just seniors. The CDC says bathroom falls happen to people of all ages, and they recommend research into whether bathtub grab bars make things safer. House Call for Health, I'm Kirsten McNary, Fox News Radio.
Construction can get rolling once again on a giant, massive solar energy project in Southern California after wildlife officials decided it will not endanger the threatened desert tortoise. Back in April, the feds ordered Bright Source Energy to stop work on that project after the government found hundreds of tortoises would have been killed. Now the government says it has found a way to move the critters out of harm's way. I'm Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You've got to tune in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It's Saturday, June 11th, 2011. I'm Dave Michaels with traffic, weather, and great bumper music. Maybe. The KSCO weather forecast for today is for mostly cloudy conditions early in the daytime. Sunny conditions by the afternoon with highs around 66 degrees. Calm winds becoming west between 13 and 16 miles per hour. Winds could gust as high as 21 miles per hour. Your forecast for tonight includes increasing clouds and lows around 49 degrees tomorrow. Looks like it's going to be partly to mostly cloudy with highs around 67 degrees. Your boaters forecast for today, west winds 10 to 20 knots, occasional gusts of up to 25 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, and west swells 5 to 9 feet every 9 seconds, along with patchy fog. Outside KSCO Studios, it's 68 degrees. The time is now 11:06, time for hour number 2 of the Saturday special. Before we get to that, though, we've got the newest commentary from Kay's Whirling. You've got to tune in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz or KSCO.com. Either choice is the right one.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
What I am about to tell you will shock and anger you, and you will believe it is unbelievable. It happened probably during the Clinton administration, or was occurring about 2 decades ago. Let's call this our national parks now belong to the United Nations. Across this great land, our national parks, wildlands, forests, and lakes are being turned over to UN control. This means that under the United Nations Biodiversity Treaty, voted upon probably during the Clinton administration, a precious resource owned by American citizens for over 200 years has been turned over to the UN's bureaucrats for control. You and I will continue to pay taxes for the maintenance and upkeep of the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and for Yosemite National Park and all the other American national parks. But we will no longer own them. Now the United Nations has ultimate jurisdiction. This alone is startling evidence that the once independent nation state known as the United States of America is going out with a whimper and not a bang. Our sovereignty may be coming to an end. How can our leaders allow this? As a consequence, across the USA, our parks and wilderness areas are slowly being closed to the public. Roads inside the park are being grazed over. Mountain passes and hiking paths are being blockaded. No fishing, no hunting, and no trespassing signs are being erected everywhere on public lands. Entrance fees are being jacked up 100%, even 500% higher to keep American families out of their own lands. Remember, listeners, this, which I am reading, was written years ago. The UN and its elitist masters do not want you on their property. And in case you do trespass and enter forbidden areas of these pristine UN lands, you might just be shot. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service agents and park personnel are now taught to love nature's Mother Earth and to despise and loathe human beings. They're being given firearms and instructed to use them. Remember, listeners, again, that this article was written many years ago. The United Nations are still in control, though we, the people of the United States, still pay the bills. Interesting arrangements, but many Americans, including me, are not comfortable with this giveaway. I would like to dismiss the UN and its uncomfortable agenda, own and control our own national parks. It is also no secret that the United Nations, created after World War II to settle affairs between countries, now really want to totally own the U.S. And that is totally not acceptable. It's like by creating the U.N., we have created a monster who wants to destroy us. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but...
That was one red hot commentary. Kay's whirling. You better grab this. Well, that was a zinger.
Yeah, I know.
That was a zinger. Got another zinger for you today, folks. This is the Saturday special. Michael Olson in for Michael's whirling, who is out and about with Kay's whirling today in the studio. Today it's just Kay and I because everybody else ran for the hills when they learned what the subject of the next hour is going to be. And the next hour is going to be how there is a clear and present danger that you and I, as citizens of Santa Cruz County, might lose our fairgrounds. And this is a very real threat here. And that's the subject of this hour of the Saturday special. To understand this hour, I hope you go to your browser and go to the maps and find Rancho Brazil Lane in Watsonville. That'll really help you understand what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about how a group of disgruntled neighbors are attacking the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds, kind of like a picture, a bunch of wolves harassing a bull elk and trying to bring it down. That's kind of like what's going on right now. And I tried to get somebody from the Community Alliance for Fairgrounds Accountability with Max Kelly to join us today, but they would have no part of this. And as a matter of fact, the board was reluctant, of the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds was reluctant to participate as well. So it's Kay's Whirling and I. We're going to take on this issue, and we're going to ask some questions, and perhaps you out there will help us find some answers. To start, let's go back to the story about the guy who finds a great price on a house next to the airport and so moves right in. Then one morning, he wakes up to the fact that airports make noise, and so he initiates a campaign to get rid of that airport, to close it down. Now hear the story of how a Victorian house was lifted from its foundation on East Beach Street in Watsonville and moved out to the bucolic countryside next to the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds. That's right, right there on Rancho Brazil Lane.
How close to the fairgrounds, my God?
I'd say a driver and a fairway wood and a wedge. Which is pretty darn close.
Yeah.
If people look on that map, they'll see that Rancho Brazil Lane is in fact right next door to the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds. So the owners of this beautiful property one morning wake up to the fact that, holy smokes, the fairgrounds make noise. And now that owner, Max Kelly, has initiated a campaign that may well get rid of the county fairgrounds. So the question we have on the table today for you and I out there, citizens of Santa Cruz County, can we save the fairgrounds? So the story is all focused on a developer by the name of Max Kelly, who has a beautiful home on Rancho Brazil Lane, right there next to the fairgrounds. Does not like rodeos or horse events, because they smell like horse pucky, of course. And he does not like automobile racing, which has been going on at the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds for 50 years. That's right. We've been racing cars at the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds for 50 years.
And, Michael, isn't it true that this person who moved his house from Watsonville, his big house, and that was very, very expensive, but he had the foresight to go to his new space and listen and hear about noises?
Well, as I
understand,
that's the funny thing is that I know that I've heard that I don't know Max Kelly. I've never met him, but I understand he is a developer. And given the size and of his property there and how beautiful
it
is,
expensive.
He must be a pretty successful developer. So the notion that he would buy a house right next door to the fairgrounds and then not consider
A little bit of noise.
It just does not quite ring true for some reason.
Right.
So that's one of the questions we're going to be asking a little bit later today. So Max took up arms and organized CAFA, which is the Community Alliance for Fairgrounds Accountability. He hired the environmental attorneys, Gary Patton and Jonathan Whitworth, the Gary Patton. And these lawyers are now using CEQA laws to hound the fairground board and management. CEQA, of course, is the California Environmental Quality Act. So if you have a hold of these laws and rules and regulations, you can pretty much drive anybody nuts. You know, you can't put a light bulb in there because unless you have an environmental impact statement. And so those are the kinds of things that the lawyers for Max Kelly are doing to the fairgrounds right now, to the fair board, to the fair management. They're hounding the fairgrounds as if they were a pack of wild wolves trying to pull down a big bull elk.
And they want to decide what kind of noises and how often.
Mm-hmm.
And
maybe they.
It would be so nice for if Gary Patton would have taken the time to come in and explain all this to us and to the audience.
Maybe
but
he will.
He didn't want to.
No, we could not get we could not get Max Kelly. We could not get anybody from the Community Alliance for Fairgrounds Accountability. And we could not get Gary Patton or Jonathan Whitworth to come in and explain what on earth is going on here. So we're going to have some questions for these people today. And perhaps you folks out there can help us by finding some answers here. First of all, from Max Kelly. If anybody knows Max Kelly, please call him up and tell us to call in at 479-1080 and help us come to grips with these questions that we have for him. So Max Kelly, you are a developer and one smart cookie. What were you thinking when you bought a house next door to the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds? I mean, you know, as a developer, the first law of real estate is location, location, and location.
Right.
You know that. That's what you live and you breathe and you think that. And yet you bought a house next door, right next door, to the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds, where they've been racing cars for 50 years and having horse events forever.
And now you want to dictate who and what kind of noise the fairgrounds are going to be able
to. So, Max Kelly, pick up your phone and call us. We're at 479-1080. And tell us what you were thinking when you moved right next door to the fairgrounds. We're really curious to know what the thought process was in doing so. And finally, like Kay suggests here, being so close to the fairgrounds, what kind of events are you going to approve them doing? Perhaps a convention of deaf and mute or something like that? What is it that you're going to allow the fairgrounds to do? We're at 479-1080. Pick up your phone, Max Kelly, and join us. And tell us what kind of events you're going to allow the fairgrounds to have in order to survive. And I have to ask you the hard question here in considering this issue. Is this CAFA, this community, what is it, Community Alliance for Fairgrounds Accountability, is this campaign a harassment part of a master plan to increase your property value by getting rid of the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds? You know, buy low and sell high, move next to the airport, close the airport, and the value of your house goes up. Is that what's going on here? It just seems so. What do you pick up the phone and join us? We're at 479-1080. And finally, Gary Patton, I have a question for you. Don't you think it's a bit ironic, Gary Patton? I remember you, Gary Patton. I remember you when you stopped the development of Lighthouse Field. You were my hero because I love that field. But don't you think it's kind of ironic that you, the green attorney, the environmental attorney, the person that for open space, don't you think it's a bit ironic that you're taking money from a developer to deprive the citizens of Santa Cruz County of their communal open space? Call us up, Gary Patton. We're at 479-1080. I'd love to hear from you, Gary Patton, and citizens of Santa Cruz County. Is there a clear and present danger that we might lose our fairgrounds to this behavior? And what can we do to save it? 479-1080. We will be right back after this brief timeout. Do stay tuned. Michael Olson with Kay Zwirling. And the phones are rocking.
For 400 years, the world-famous Lipizzaner stallions have captured the imagination and excitement of the equestrian world. And now, you have the chance to see the Dancing White Stallions perform live and in person in a special anniversary edition, including their spectacular leaps in the airs above the ground. Don't miss the world-famous Lipizzaner Stallions on their world tour.
Santa Cruz Civic Auditorium, Thursday, June 16th at 2:30 and 7:30 p.m. Tickets now at Auditorium Box Office and SantaCruzTickets.com. Children and seniors enjoy half price.
What would you get if you combined the great taste of that breakfast drink Tang along with 187 different vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes added in the healing properties of green tea?
Flowerpowerdrink.com.
Long-term sustained energy without the jitters. It helped people lose weight and gave more cellular nutrition.
Flowerpowerdrink.com.
831-429-2300.
Oh no, not a Justin Bieber wig.
Treat Father to what he really wants this Father's Day weekend. Adventure. Take him to the beautiful Pajaro Valley for the Loch Lomond Games and Scottish Renaissance Festival, Saturday and Sunday, June 18th and 19th at the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds. Tickets are only $15 and the parking is free. Thou will get to spend an entire day enjoying the Highland Games and Celtic Gathering with lots of traditional Scottish athletics, professional and amateur competitors, and lots of clansmen with enough tartan to make everyone feel Scottish for the day. And don't forget the food and the drink and the Scottish Renaissance Festival.
No, no, please not a daddy tea caddy.
Treat Father to a Father's Day weekend filled with adventure. Take him to the Scottish Renaissance Festival and Loch Lomond Games at the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds in Watsonville. Tickets are just $15 and parking is free. Get discount tickets right now at ScottishRenaissanceFestival.org. That's ScottishRenaissanceFestival.org. Now strike up the pipes.
You're listening to KSCO, serving King City, Mount Hermon, and Tulare.
Well, hey there. Can we save our Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds, or will it go down to a group of grumpy neighbors who don't like the noise, don't like the smell, move next to the fairgrounds, and what the hell? Michael Olson here on the Saturday special, sitting in for MZ, who's out and about. But I do have Kay Zwirling here, and we are ready to rock. The phone lines are full, but I don't see any phone calls from Gary Patton. I don't see any phone calls from Max Kelly. Please pick up your phone and call us and tell us what the heck you guys are up to. I'm really curious to know. Right now, we're going to go to Loretta Estrada, who is on the board of the Santa Cruz County Fair. Loretta, welcome to the Saturday special.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi, Kay. How are you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I'm calling in response to Michael Betke's commentation and also Steve Chambers.
Sure.
I've known Steve for many, many, many years. And I've also known Michael. He was appointed, and he is now our new fair manager. First of all, I have to say he has done a fantastic job. His vision for the fairgrounds is awesome.
All right, Loretta, let me ask you this. He is being personally attacked by this group of CAFA people.
I think
he's being personally attacked because he is effective and he has the ability to do things, to bring things to the fairgrounds, and they don't want to see that. And he is being personally attacked. How are we going to save him?
Well, I've done everything I can. We've had, for the last 4 or 5 months at our fair board meeting, it has turned into he said, she said, we said, they say, back and forth. And it's really sad because
sure, they're like a bunch of wolves just hounding at your heels, aren't they?
That's it. And no matter, like John Prentice is in charge of the raceway. And you know that raceway's been there since the 1950s. My husband raced before we ever got married, and we just celebrated our 50th anniversary. So it's not a new event that's going on.
50 years.
Over 50 years. I'd say closer to 60 years. And, you know, John has done everything he can to appease these people.
It's never going to be enough.
I've always said enough. It's never going to be enough.
What are they complaining about?
They don't like the noise. They don't like the music. They don't like, no matter what it goes on, I hear, if any noise is invented, they don't like it.
They have to move then. All they want at the fairground is a convention of deaf and dumb.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not even that, I don't think. I really don't know what they do want, because we've done everything that, you know, we know what to do. And we're not doing anything different than we've always done. It's, you know, we've had these Quinceanero dances forever. We've had concerts at the fairgrounds. I mean, one time we had Willie Nelson. We just had some big names out there. And they were out on the lawn. So they were blasting music, say, 15, 18 years ago. Live bands that just was all kinds of noise. This is where Max Kelly came. So he doesn't know about what took place years and years ago, as far as that goes. And the house he lives on now used to belong to, not the house, the land he lives on, belonged to Danny Brazil. And we used to go there all the time. We would work on cattle, make all noises, hoop and holler. We had rodeos and horse shows at the fairgrounds for years and years, and we participated in these rodeos. We used to have, for a long time, the Sheriff Posse Rodeo. And this is a full-fledged rodeo. We had bull riding. We did it all. No one ever complained.
So, Loretta, how are you going to survive this?
I don't know how they expect us to survive. We've lost $125,000 money from the date. We have to make this $125,000 up somehow. If you don't have events up there, the races guarantees us like $60,000 a year. If we don't have these races, if we don't have the dances, that brings in probably $50,000 a year. The horse shows bring us in about $50,000 a year.
Do you think they're trying to get rid of you on purpose? Do you think that's it?
I don't know. Maybe so, you know. But, you know, if you sold the land and brought in a bunch of low-cost housing, you could probably put 500 houses out there. Those 500 houses out there could bring an average of 6-8 people to a house. You times that, and you times that times noise and soccer fields and yelling and hollers. That would be a whole different kind of noise. But would they be happy with that? I don't know.
Thank you, Loretta. I'm going to move on. Got a bunch of calls here.
But one other thing, I was just at the fairgrounds, and I was at the building that's going to be the Heritage Foundation building. That's built by the Austin Company in 1976. And the Heritage Foundation right now, with the generous support of the community and the donations, they're probably going to spend $120,000, $130,000 in that building to get it to be a beautiful, beautiful building for the community and the people of Santa Cruz County to use and enjoy. So there's so many things going on out there, and everything we're doing is an improvement, a plus.
But maybe that's not what they're. But that's what frightens them most.
Yeah,
maybe what frightens them. Yeah, maybe what frightens them most is that you're actually going to make this work.
Well, I'm hoping it would work. You know, 25 years on the board, I haven't done this just for something to do.
Well, thank you for the call, Loretta. I'm going to have to move on. I've got tons of calls here.
I thank you very much for doing this article today. It's been very, very needed.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Oh, you bet. Let's move on. Let's go to Steve, who's in Watsonville. Steve, welcome.
Hi. I missed part of the first hour, so I don't know if this had been discussed. Was anything said about an environmental lawsuit is being part of Patton's complaint about possible contamination of South Coates Creek behind the fairgrounds?
Well, what they're using is the CEQA laws to challenge everything that the fair is trying to do. Or if you try to put in a new light, you know, for example, they're likely to come to you and go, look, on page 753, paragraph 18, it says right here that to put a new light there, you have to have an environmental impact statement.
So they have to approve every move you make.
Yes.
Is that it?
It comes down to the old death of a thousand cuts, of course.
That's exactly what they're trying to do.
I've heard is that part of the complaint is about contaminating South Blades Creek, and a test of the water was done, and it actually showed that the water was cleaner as it left the fairgrounds than when it entered, which means that if there's any coliform contamination or anything like that. It's probably from, you know, defective septic systems.
You know,
from the neighbors,
yeah,
the complaining neighbors.
That might well be true, but that was done, that EIR was, or that test was done last year, and you might need another one this year or tomorrow morning, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. Let's go to Jan in, let's see if I can find my arrow. There it is. Jan up in the San Lorenzo Valley. Welcome to this Saturday special.
Hi, yes, Mike and Kay.
Hi, Jan.
Hi, thanks for bringing this topic up. You know, there's some people in this world who are just mean
right.
and nasty.
Right.
And it sounds to me like this is a setup, although it might not have been, but it sounds like it's a setup. And
well, you know, that's what I scratch my head at this. Here's a developer, a person who makes his money developing real estate.
Yeah.
And he moves into a beautiful home a couple of golf shots away from the racetrack.
Right. Well, these people do that. They use CEQA and they use the ERR up here in the San Lorenzo Valley. The business association was trying to put in a fish ladder so we could have the Ben Lomond Dam again. But the Sierra Club and other activists made them do an EIR. They had $22,000 to put in the fish ladder and the dam back. And it cost them $20,000 for the EIR. So they didn't have the money after that, and it came out, yeah, it would be a good idea. But these people, they go into areas, they set these situations up, and they're just mean, evil people. What I'd love to see is the people in Santa Cruz County get behind Michael Bethke. He's a wonderful guy. He's done other things in the community to help. Get behind the Fair Board and all of this, and let's have a big parade and move this guy's house out of the county or wherever the heck. You know? We
all
could
right,
have
Jan.
The horses up front, and we could have, because these people need to leave if they're going to cause this kind of problem.
Yeah, well, Jan's in San Lorenzo Valley says, we'll just hook up the draft horses to the house and pull it out. Okay, thank you, Jan, for
thank
the call.
You.
479-1080. Let's go to Norma Jean. Norma Jean, are you there?
Yeah.
Welcome to the Saturday special.
Hi.
Hello. I'm a real estate broker, and I started my career in San Jose near the Reed Airport and also Tully Fairgrounds. And the Reed Airport was the same thing. You know, that airport was there for many, many years. And then later on, developers moved in and tried to get it closed down and succeeded quite a bit in getting most of it closed down. And I think this is what is it Max Kelly, the developer? I just want to call him to his face. He's a damn pompous ass trying to act like God. He is purposely doing that. He went in there to do that to make money. And how much money can he use? And he doesn't seem to care about the people. And I want to thank the fairgrounds for doing such a marvelous job. I've been attending 30, 40 years to some of their events, even coming from out of county to come to their wonderful events and such wonderful, wonderful family activities where the children learn so much and have so much fun. And it's a disgrace that a man, you know, a developer should try to make get richer and richer upon the, you know, upon the people. I mean,
and,
the community.
And you know, you're right. This is not the fairgrounds. This is the citizens of the county of Santa Cruz. It's where we go to meet. It's where we go to have barbecues together. It's
right.
where we go to ride our horses, to race our car, to ride on fairgrounds. To
be happy together.
Exactly.
Well, listen, I mean, it's for all the people. I mean, the poor, the rich, I mean, you know, and the farmers. It's just for everybody. It's just such a variety of activities that they've done so much with the fairgrounds. And he knew exactly what he was doing. And
of
he just
course.
Is trying to say, go in there and just get rich on you know, and they bring in all these people. And I did buy a cheap house near the fairgrounds, and that house did get more expensive anyway. But right near the fair, I was between the fairgrounds and the airport. And what people, what you know, then new developers, as land got scarce, new developers came in and you know, bought up some of the remaining lots at a very high price and just pushed and pushed and pushed till they finally, you know, shut down a lot of Reed Airport. And a lot of that happened because then after East, when Eastridge was built.
So let me ask you this, Norma Jean. Do you think that this guy is deliberately planning on shutting down the fairgrounds?
Yes,
oh, I think he's going to try. He wants to make a lot of money. That's all he cares about. He doesn't care about the community. He doesn't care about the children and having a place to learn and you know, the farmers. He doesn't care about anybody. It's for people to go and enjoy. And races, we love to go to the races at Tully Fairgrounds. And like Tully Fairgrounds has been there how many years and doing the same things. And they're surviving, and but they're, I mean, they bring people, you know, by there, it may be some noise and people move in there, they know it. And that's the same thing with this Kelly. He knew damn well that he doesn't care. He wants to act like God is what he's trying to do.
And what does it say for the integrity of Gary Patton's company?
Gary Patton, the ultimate environmental lawyer,
right.
the person that stood up and fought back the development of Lighthouse Field, the person who's made it so incredibly hard to develop here in Santa Cruz County, the person who fought for open space for people for so many years. And here he is taking money from a developer to get rid of our county's communal open space.
Yep.
Gary Patton, would you please pick up your phone and join us at 479-1080? I'd love to talk with you about this. I'd love to figure out what's in your mind here and what exactly is you're up to. 479-1080. Please, Gary Patton, pick up your phone. And in the interim, let's go to Logan. Logan, welcome to the Saturday special.
How's it going today?
Very good.
I've been going to the fairgrounds for pretty much, I grew up there. My parents used to be part of the horse show committee. When there was a separate committee for the horse shows and
right,
the fairgrounds.
Right.
And I was in 40s for 11 years, so I've been going to the fairgrounds for a very long time. And I go pretty much every Friday night to the races. And I don't see where the guy gets the notion to move to next to the fairgrounds.
And not
and he doesn't like the noise.
Well, do you think we can save the fairground, Logan?
Yes.
How? I mean, see, the fairground has no budget for fighting off lawyers. I mean, the fairground is running lean and mean. They got rid of employees. They're running the 120 acres on three with three employees. They have no budget for fighting off a pack of lawyers.
Yeah.
Okay, so our fairgrounds is vulnerable. How are we going to fight off that pack of lawyers?
I don't know right now. I'll have to look into that myself and talk to some of my friends about that.
Thanks for the call, Logan.
All right.
John lives next to the Santa Cruz County Fair.
Right.
Do you hear the noise?
I live in the area, and I've lived here for 36 years, raised our kids. They were in 4-H. We've used the fairgrounds year after year and enjoyed it. And I can't believe the fact that they're complaining about the noise. Because if you do the arithmetic, if the fairground noise on Friday nights is 5 hours, let's say that's including warm-up, et cetera, and you figure out it's five, and it's usually run, let's say, 6 months, that's about 130 hours out of 8,700 hours in a year. So it's less than one-tenth of 1% of the time in a year that's making all this hullabaloo. That's crazy.
I don't suppose it's crazy if you live next door to the fairgrounds.
It is. Because.
But why would you move next door to the fairgrounds if you don't want the noise?
Well, a thing that also confuses me is this. This group is acting in breaking the law in what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
And here's what they did. They put a flyer in my mailbox, which they're not allowed to do by federal law. To say, come to a meeting Saturday so-and-so. This was a couple of months ago. So I called the phone number there and said, hey, you guys are breaking federal laws. Stop it. You don't mess with my mailbox. I called the post office. I said, what's going on? They can't do that. The next time, you let us know. Well, sure enough, they got the word, and now they tape the thing on your mailbox. I checked with the post office. That's illegal, too. But they don't care. They just... crazy in the head. I went to one of their meetings, and at the end of the meeting, a woman came up to me with a petition. She says, this is a petition so that the folks in Watsonville can't change how the little park downtown is being used. The city council was talking about making some changes, and we want you to sign. I looked at her and I says, what are you talking about? I don't live in Watsonville. Why would I sign a petition that deals with the Watsonville Park? She says, well, it doesn't matter where you live. It's still good that you can sign it. Sign it here. I says, no, I won't sign it. I'm not a Watsonville resident. I don't vote there. I don't live there. My kids didn't go to school there. My kids went to school out here on Casterly Road.
Well, John, how are we going to save the county fair?
Well, who's walking in front of his house with a sign.
Just a second.
Who's calling these meetings?
Well, there's a committee. That committee of which they speak. They meet at the fairgrounds about every 2 months. And it's crazy to hear their arguments. One of the guys lives way up on Hecker Pass Road. And he said, well, when the wind is just right and temperature is just right, I can hear the cars, and so I'm protesting.
Oh, my.
And I laugh at these people.
This is the Community Alliance for Fairgrounds. Yeah. John, do you think we can save the fairgrounds?
Absolutely. Just human beings. We live here. We're not 100% with these screwballs.
No.
Why does this tiny little minority make all this noise? So they can make money. You know, I knew the guy who moved the house over there. He had to cut it in two and put it in two pieces in order to get it there. And why this jerk bought it is, it's got to be to make money. That's it. You know, money, money, money. And then this Gary Patton comes along to push it. It's so upside down. Just, as a neighbor, I just have a hard time.
Thank you, John.
Oh, goodness.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Andrew, who's in Aromas. Andrew, welcome to the Saturday special.
Only thing I got to say about this, I used to live in Watsonville, and I used to be able to hear the racetrack, but it was always kind of a fun thing. It let you know it was the weekend and time to wake up. And that was all the way in the downtown Watsonville. That was a long distance. So, yeah, there is a noise complaint that I could see people having an issue with. But what I would warn everybody against is if they want to do some kind of community activity to support the fair and protect it, they need to look into the legal background of what happened to Laguna Seca. Because Laguna Seca used to be able to have races go into the night. That's all been cut off now. It always ends at 5 o'clock because the neighborhood across the hill didn't like the noise. They were all wealthy enough to get enough lawyers on it and to stop it. Mm-hmm. And so Laguna Seca suffered a pretty big impact, and it made the whole county of Monterey suffer an impact, and that's what's going on here. They're going to use the same tactic, the same strategy for the same reasoning as little.
Like a pack of wolves. They're just going to harry and worry until...
Yeah. But they're gonna have legal standing, and so whomever wants to get involved to do this is gonna have to be very calculated and.
Let me ask you this: Do you think we can save the fairgrounds? Do you think it's gonna go down? Because we need the events. Without the events, that fairground is going down. It's gonna die.
Yeah. Well, that property out there is worth a lot of money, and.
So you don't think so?
It's going to be one of those things that only Santa Cruz can pull off. Only people in Santa Cruz can pull this one off. And they're going to have to be strategic, and they're going to have to be diehards to save it, because that property is worth more putting out little McMansions than it is with the current events that they're providing. The current events are more of a burden. But that's just in today's economy. 20 years from now, what's the value?
There you go.
You're going to have to be forward-thinking. You're going to have to actualize out the value, this versus that. And those are very expensive things to project.
And perhaps that's what Max Kelly was thinking way out there.
Yeah.
Okay, Andrew, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Doug in Santa Cruz. Doug, welcome to the Saturday special. You've got Kay's Whirling, Michael Olson. Go ahead.
How you doing? I feel that... maybe an environmental impact study wasn't properly done on the gentleman that moved his house out to the fairgrounds. How does his house affect the ability of the fairgrounds to perform properly? And I find it interesting that most of the time, whenever these controversial radio shows are available and folks have an opportunity to defend their position, they're auspiciously absent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, sure. I'd sure like to hear from Gary Patton. I'd sure like to hear from Max Kelly. Where are those people? What are you doing? What is your intent here? What is your intent, Gary Patton? You're the environmental lawyer. You're the person who saves open space. And here you're taking money from a developer to essentially kill the community's open space, its playground. What's going on? What are you thinking, Gary Patton?
I'm from the Midwest, and it's fairly close to Alton, Illinois. And there's a section of Missouri called West Alton, which used to be basically what the Santa Cruz Fairgrounds is right now. It is an open spot of land that people used to hold rodeos and fairs and just basically community picnics and parties. And developers shut it down because they said that the the effects of the waste and whatever from, you know, having animals and livestock in that area were detrimental to the environment.
What isn't detrimental to the environment, Doug? Everything is.
True. I mean, everything we do impacts the environment in some way. But the funny thing about it is this place is so close to the Mississippi River that pretty much nothing is really easily developed there because it floods every year. And the same folks that held this environmental study to close down the fairgrounds also deemed that it was perfectly fine to build a subdivision in that area.
And there you go.
And a few years ago, in fact, if you guys remember the 93 floods that happened throughout the Midwest, that was part of the developed area that was flooded out and wiped out by a lack of consideration and understanding of the river ebbs and flows.
And there you go. And thanks for the call, Doug. Really appreciate it. Moving on up to Jeanette in Watsonville. Jeanette, there, I think. Gotcha.
Hello?
Hi, Jeanette. You're on.
Okay. Hi. Hey.
Hi.
Hi. I have been attending some of these meetings, and I had to walk out of the last meeting. I was so frustrated. No matter what our board said and our general manager, Mr. Bethke, said, everything they said was not accepted by this group of people. I never heard so many buts in my life. I was so angry and so frustrated, as you can tell by my voice now. I had to leave. They were not willing to accept anything the board had done or plans to do. So, is there a plan? I most certainly do think that there is.
So you think that there is an a plan here to take down the Santa Cruz County Fair and get rid of it, don't you?
Oh, I do. I mean, I had heard things, and I finally attended meetings. I finally have time. And there's no acceptance for this board for anything that they've done.
So, Gary Patton, where are you out there?
Oh, don't
you're even listening. I know you're listening, Gary Patton. What are you doing?
Yes, Gary.
You're the champion of open spaces.
What rock are you under?
He's the champion of open spaces for community open space. I mean,
yeah. Well, did he attend those meetings?
I haven't seen him. I think I heard that he had, but I haven't seen him, the ones I've attended. So,
Jeanette, thanks.
I think he has. Yes, thank you. Goodbye.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, let's go to Bruce, who is also wants to weigh in on the subject. Bruce, welcome to the Saturday special. Kay's Whirling and Michael Olson in for MZ.
Well, hi, Michael. Hi, Kate.
Hi.
Appreciate the subject matter this morning. I just had an idea. We're talking about the fairgrounds and what's happening, but maybe we should be talking about things that could be done to help save the fairgrounds.
Yeah. What can we do?
And
how can we save the fairgrounds?
One of the light bulbs that went off in my mind was I know that the Grateful Dead has been so well graced with over a $600,000 federal or state funding for their archive at UC Santa Cruz, and I know that the tour that they're doing right now is going so incredibly well, sellout shows, etc. These guys I've worked with for many years, and I'm sure there's a lot of people listening right now in Santa Cruz who would agree that by approaching this particular group, there might be an opportunity there to have them host an event at the fairgrounds
that's a great idea. But what is the committee stop everything at the fairgrounds going to say when they say you're going to have a Grateful Dead concert? Boy, they're going to really stand up in arms there. You can't have a Grateful Dead concert at the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds. That'll make noise, and we'll all be out of luck. 479-1080 is the phone number today. This is the Saturday special. I have a few minutes left.
Wait a minute. Michael, are you discarding that suggestion?
No, I love the idea. I love the idea of having concerts out there. That's what the fairgrounds are for.
So,
but what is the What do they
we
call
don't
themselves?
Care. Why don't we just proceed and try to get them to come out there? Who's going to stop us?
Well, the Community Alliance for Fairgrounds Accountability will try to stop us from doing everything. That's what they're there for. They're out to stop us from doing everything. John.
Yes.
You're there. Go ahead.
I'm here. Hey, sorry I couldn't. Sorry I couldn't be on the show, but I'm sure you understand a family with four kids. I got to spend some quality time with them on Saturdays when
sir,
I can.
Should we introduce you?
Please.
John Prentice, who is the entrepreneur who runs the Ocean Speedway at the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds. John, welcome to the Saturday special.
Thank you. Thanks
Hi,
for having
John.
Me.
John.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Good. Well, thank you so much for bringing this topic up and enlightening so many people about what is going on in the community.
So, John, you folks have been racing cars at the Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds, Loretta Estrada said, for, over 60 years?
Yeah, that's a little bit longer than I've been around, but, that's what it's been going consistently for 50-plus years I know of, and it's a great venue, and it's a great venue for families, and we've really tried to make it a family event out there on Friday nights and give the people in the community and the county a place to go that's safe and affordable entertainment.
Yes, but?
But?
How are you going to survive this?
Oh, I think that there is, that's the million-dollar question, and I think there's so much support behind this fair because it does so much good for the community that I think when push comes to shove, you'll definitely see a lot of supporters.
I think it is push come to shove time from what I understand.
I think that there is a lot of I know as far as the Speedway, there was a group of supporters that took out a full page ad last week, and in that they started a petition and some donations, and I'd like to thank them for doing that, the group, whoever did that. And I know that on our end, the donations, I just thank all the supporters have been to, and I'm hoping that the fairgrounds itself will get some supporters and some donations to really keep the fight going.
John Prentice, thank you very much for tuning in and enjoying Saturday with those kids of yours, okay?
I have an idea.
Go ahead, Kay. Kay has an idea.
If Gary Patton's legal firm is taking this on, maybe there's a legal firm in our county who will donate their services.
I think that is a brilliant idea. We are now in the market for a legal firm here in the Santa Cruz County area who knows some sequel law and can stand up to Gary Patton as he and Max Kelly and the people from what the heck they call themselves, the community something for Fairgrounds.
Okay.
Oh, Community Alliance for Fairgrounds Accountability.
And as an owner of KSCO, we will be very happy to donate airtime to dealing with this situation.
Amen. There you go. So we're in the fight. We are in the fight. Let's go to Tammy. We have a few minutes left and a few calls to go. So go ahead, Tammy.
Yeah, I just had a couple of things to say that I've enjoyed the fairgrounds for many years living here, and the way the gangs are in Salinas, Watsonville, Pajaro, it's a nice place for the kids to go, that most of the time it's, very safe and it's fun. And then I had also mentioned that I'd heard about a gentleman that wanted to do the AIDS ride, and he had to come up with $3,000, and he put his little story on Facebook that he couldn't do it alone, and within hours he got thousands and thousands of dollars. So I thought if someone had a great story to open something on Facebook and ask the community, far and wide for a dollar, this might be the answer.
Wow.
For some money.
That's a great idea,
good
Tammy.
Idea.
Good ideas. So we'll start a Facebook page. Somebody out there, help us with that one.
Yeah, a nice story and what's happening and who's trying to kill this and why they're trying to kill
Amen.
It because of development.
Mm-hmm.
And just see what happens. You might get millions of dollars. You got things as far away as Germany and Japan and Australia, so you never know.
Great
right.
comment. You're
Good.
On. Thank you very
All
much,
All right, you're
Tammy.
Welcome. Thanks for the program.
You
Bye.
Bet. Let's go to Michael in Santa Cruz. Michael, welcome Hello. To the Saturday special.
Hello, Michael, and hello, Mrs.
Kay.
Yes.
Thank
How are you?
Good. Thank you for calling.
thank you for helping the community. I thought of an idea, you know, that the people who are nearby. I used to live in Marina del Rey in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and the airport is right there, you know. So the houses start complaining about their planes. So what they did, the eminent domain, I think it's called, you know, they bought the property.
Right.
People had to leave their area, you know, because they were right there by the
That's a great idea, Michael. But
so eminent domain is probably the way to go with those people who are complaining about the noise. And be relocated, and then the house teared down and put something else in there, you know?
That's a good idea, but I don't think the government has any money. That's the problem with that one. The governments just don't have
any
money anymore.
Problem.
Yeah, but it's a great idea, and thank you for saying it here. And let's go to Ron in Carmel.
Hey, good morning, Michael.
Hello.
Kay.
Hi.
Hi, here's my idea. Okay, I'm down here in Carmel. I'm in a little cottage that was built in 1931. By a local architect,
mm-hmm.
the city of Carmel declared it historic. I didn't have anything to do with it. You've had races out there at the fairgrounds for over 50 years. Why can't the county consider it a historic venue, and maybe that would prevent it from going away?
Hey, I like that idea.
All right. Look into that feasibility.
I like that. That's a good one. That's a good idea number two. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
That was a good one.
Coming up with a lot of good ideas.
Yeah, let's go to Krista. Krista, welcome.
Oh, hi there. I have something that might be important to add in that the neighbor that purchased that property adjacent to the fairgrounds most likely was given a disclosure when he purchased it from the agent on behalf of the buyer, on behalf of the seller.
You know, this guy was a developer. He knows what's going on. He had to know.
He checked it out before he put his house there.
Well, it's more than obvious that there's noise coming from the fairgrounds.
Of course.
At different times of the year. But I think that there's an actual document that he signed saying that he is aware of the noise.
Good idea number three. That's a great idea.
Yeah,
so track down the realtor who sold him that property.
Exactly. And it would be a document that would have been put into escrow, a copy of it, or possibly the seller's agent would have copies of it, and they would probably still have it in their file.
That would be nice.
Wow, that's great idea number three.
And then if he doesn't like it, he's got to move, right?
Well, he already agreed to purchase the property given the fact that there's noise there.
Yeah,
well.
You know, and so that is a document that really holds some importance. And then also my husband is involved in a men's organization that plaques historical buildings. And there's a couple of things you might need to know about in that there's historical, quote-unquote, building. You know, there's historical building with regard to on the building on the historical register. And then there's historical anything over 50 years old.
And there you go.
They also plaque events, you know.
Oh, like they do events.
Yes, because it's
so
something
it
was
could
launched.
Be the car races could be a historical event.
Absolutely.
Krista, you're a gem. I have to move really quickly.
Okay,
thank you.
All right,
bye-bye. Okay, let's go quickly to, we've got a bunch of people here. Let's go to Jeannie, who has something to say about Gary Patton. Go ahead, Jeannie.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Kay.
Hi.
Gary Patton is somebody who I thought was on our side.
Yeah.
He made his name by preventing development in Santa Cruz County.
Right.
Many of us go back supporting him a long time and voting for him. Now he's taking money from a developer to screw the citizens of Santa Cruz County out of their own fairgrounds?
Yep.
This has to be the irony of the decade.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we should go with the historic building thing and incorporate Max Kelly's home into the fairgrounds and take it away from him.
Thank you, Jeannie. Okay. Folks, we just ran out of time. Travis and Cliff, I'm sorry. Here, let's go quickly. Travis, quickly, hurry. What? Are you there?
Is this Travis?
Yeah, go ahead, really quickly.
Really quickly. This is not the first time Gary Patton has represented a developer. Back in the 70s, when he was so famously defending Lighthouse Field, he was also defending a client of his up in Bonny Doon, who had claimed that the airport was defrauded from him.
Oh, there you go. And then quickly to Cliff, hurry quick.
The best way to get this movement going is for the citizens to come out and watch the races. Get a grassroots
movement.
Thank
you very much. Kay Swirling, thank you very much for riding along on the Saturday special. And thank you, MZ, for allowing us to sit in today. Go out and have a great Saturday and stay tuned for the Perspective Show.
Congressman Anthony Weiner to resign, coming fast now from high-ranking Democrats. It started with the chair of the Democratic National Committee, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who in a statement calls Weiner's behavior, tweeting lewd pictures of himself to women, indefensible. Now the House's top Democrat, Nancy Pelosi, saying in a statement, Congressman Weiner should seek help without, quote, the pressures of being a member of Congress. All this after Weiner, a Democrat from New York, admitted to digitally communicating with a 17-year-old girl.
Daniel McElhattan's the attorney that represents the 17-year-old's family. He said the girl and her parents voluntarily handed over her cell phone, voluntarily handed over the computer. Detectives with the Newcastle County Police are taking the weekend to look at these tweets to see if anything was inappropriate between this 46-year-old congressman and this minor.
That's Fox's Caroline Shively reporting from Washington. A huge wildfire in eastern Arizona has eaten more than 30 homes and forced 10,000 to evacuate. As it burns over 600 square miles, the air is filling with ash.
For the community, the amount of particulate matter, smoke in the air is a big issue. We need you to please, if you have respiratory issues, to make sure that you're taking precautions.
Karen Takei is the lead information officer for the fire incident management team. Firefighters from across the country are on the ground in Arizona right now. That fire is about 6% contained. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is the first U.S. official to publicly confirm the death of an al-Qaeda militant accused of being behind the U.S. embassy bombings in Kenya and Tanzania. In a statement, Clinton, who was in Tanzania, says the death of Fazul Abdullah Mohammed is a significant blow to al-Qaeda. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
The Willis Report is on. Smart, trusted, and on point. Jerry Willis gives it to you straight.
It's not what we were promised, not by a long shot. Certainly, I think people are going to be keeping an eye on this.
Investigating top business stories, outing corporate scams, and policing D.C. policy.
I wish that Congress would feel the obligation to actually explain it to us.
Jerry Willis, uncovering the real stories behind the business headlines.
It's going to be shocking.
Check in with the Willis Report on the Fox Business Network. Judge Napolitano is on the case, policing big government, exposing bureaucrats, safeguarding your rights.
The Constitution was written to limit the government. When politicians cross that line, I'll be there.
The judge is taking the toughest issues head on. Exclusive interviews, hard-hitting investigations. The one show delivering a message straight to D.C.'s power players.
From Capitol happenings to Supreme Court surprises, we're in the middle of it all.
Catch Freedom Watch weeknights at 8 Eastern, only on Fox Business, the power to prosper.
It was all about the economy in the politicians' weekly addresses.
The weekend talk from Washington, the economy. The president pleading for patience and optimism in his weekly address.
I wish I could tell you there was a quick fix to our economic problems, but the truth is we didn't get into this mess overnight, and we won't get out of it overnight. It's going to take time.
He also encouraged investing in clean energy to help aid recovery. Meantime, Illinois Congressman Adam Kinzinger in the GOP response saying the White House's economic plan hasn't worked and the road to job growth is blocked.
Because taxes are too high, regulations are too burdensome, and the government won't stop spending money it doesn't have.
Brett Larson, Fox News Radio.
Along Highway 54 in Durham, North Carolina, four people have been found shot to death. Police say three women and one man were found early today in an industrial area. Police also saying the shootings do not appear to be random, but they say they can't disclose any other details. A judge says Ford must pay $2 billion.
An Ohio judge says the Ford Motor Company has to pay nearly $2 billion in damages to thousands of its dealerships. The judgment coming in a class action lawsuit over truck prices that contended the automaker violated dealer agreements by making some dealers pay unrealistically high published wholesale prices for trucks without revealing that other dealerships were getting price concessions. The judge saying the award covers more than 3,000 dealerships and nearly a half million trucks purchased by them from 1987 to 1997. Ford is disputing the findings, says its price discount system system benefits dealers and plans to appeal. Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Actor Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are donating $500,000 to Joplin, Missouri. The gift from the Jolie Pitt Foundation will go towards rebuilding after last month's tornado. That twister killed over 150 people and destroyed more than 8,000 homes. Brad Pitt, by the way, grew up in southwest Missouri. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You've got to tune in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It's a beautiful Saturday here on the Central Coast, June 11th, 2011. I'm Dave Michaels. Traffic and weather for you. Let's see. Your forecast for today is for mostly sunny conditions with highs around 66 degrees tonight. Should be mostly cloudy with lows around 49 degrees. Tomorrow will be mostly cloudy with highs, again, around 66 degrees. Your boaters forecast for today, west winds 10 to 20 knots, wind waves 3 to 5 feet, and west swells 3 to 5 feet at 9 seconds, along with patchy fog. Outside KSCO studios, it's 70 degrees. The time now, 12:06. Coming up next, perspectives. You've got to tune in to AM 1080.